WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively into my 26th year here at WNST. It's actually our 32nd year on the radio, long enough that I remember when this place opened back in April of 1992. We are we're presented by the Maryland Lottery. We're going to be at Greenmount Station in Hampstead this week. It's a crab cake tour. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery and our friends at Window Nation, but it feels like this celebration of this 25th anniversary and the 25 stories of glory with WNST we're going to be presenting beginning in September. This month here, it's all about baseball, Bill Cole. And I know you've disappeared. I don't know if you know this, but you've been at the beach for like a month. The Orioles are in first place and they're really good and there's controversy and they threw their broadcast around. And all of a sudden, baseball and the Orioles and their broadcasts and first place, I can't get a Ravens word in edge. Lamar who? Bill Cole? Lamar, he's so next month. He's not this month.
So I did hear one of my, you know, friends who is a over-the-top baseball fan. I mean, you literally had to be like an over-the-top baseball fan to stay engaged
in
for the
stay right? In. Right.
So like there's already something sort of wrong with them, but you know. He has proclaimed that, like, if they were to win the World Series, he would probably cry for days because he, like, literally in his lifetime, he can't conceivably comprehend.
Is he under 40?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, I've always wondered, like, if you're 23, why do you like this? You know what I mean? Like I've wondered that. I love it. And I think about this all the time when I give it my time every night, my 3 hours. I think about Aparicio and my cousin and growing up. And I'll tell you what. I had lunch over Kenilworth the other day, and they got a little baseball diamond right where you park. It's literally right next to Kenilworth. I never knew it was there. It was a little softball diamond. And I'm thinking, man, I wish I had a glove in the trunk, hit some hot grounder. You know what I mean? Like, I got baseball in my blood. So when people defecate upon me, you better check the last name and understand that, like, I came at this with a glove and a bat and ball in my hand before I remember anything. So, like, baseball is my first love. Like I don't even know, and I guess I don't say that out loud often enough, but I should, right? Like this whole thing was born of baseball. We didn't have a football team here the first five years to even throw me out or mistreat me or run me all over the planet covering football games. It was all baseball, you know. And for all of my time at the Sun, I spent 8 years in the newspaper business. We didn't have a team. It was all Ken Rosenthal, West Coast. They're playing the White Sox tonight. They're going to Detroit this weekend. Who's pitching? Kevin Hickey, you know, whatever, Pete Parnish. But I don't know if you're 24, because I said this on the air. I've owned the station 25 years as of last week. So this is our 26th summer, if you count 1998, which was a washout year, right? That was the awful year. I went through that with John Maroon last week at Drug City. They've only been relevant in June, four of the years.
Right.
Five, really. There was the one Palmeiro year they fell apart at 4th of July. But they've only been in the pennant race four times in 26 summers. Now, when I say pennant race, I mean, like, at all. You've been watching. You know
this. Can't two-thirds of baseball teams say that? Like, other than the Yankees and the Red Sox and, you know, I mean, like, can't most of Major League, like, because it's such a screwy system, right? And, you know, there's no salary cap and all that other kind of crap.
That's why Steve Bisciotti, like, always said to me he would never own the Orioles. He said, it's not a fair system. He said, I can't compete with the Yankees. It's not fair.
So, and that is, I honestly think that is, like, one of the endearing things of baseball is that 80% of the teams and their fans all commonly commiserate because we all hate the Yankees. We all hate the Red Sox because they're always good and we are never good. So, you know, you can go up and down the AL or NL, whatever. And the majority of the teams have no chance. And that has existed for most of my lifetime, right? And then that's probably also what makes it so special when you go on the run because. Well, I don't know. There's not a guy on our team making more than minimum wage, right? Like, whatever. Like, you're defying the odds. So that just makes it that much more exciting, right? But I don't know.
And then you have a putz for an owner. Well, even when things are going well, You have
That's what I was
zero
thinking.
confidence that this can be managed when he can't even manage his play-by-play broadcaster. Like
Well,
he can't even put a television network that he was gifted. I mean, this guy is going to be a Fredo of all Fredos before it's all over with, because these MLB owners are going to come in and run his ass out on a rail. Like, this isn't going to end well for John Angelos. John Angelos is not taking this team to Nashville. He's not, he'll, it'll end well. He'll get money, but it's not going to end well that, like, he's going to be king and be loved and own the team 10 years from now. I do not believe that's going to be the case.
so I don't think that he wants to be the king. I don't think that being the civic savior is something that appeals to him. I think that family has done a lot of good, with their money in the city. So I just don't think that's It's not his. He didn't make it. You know what I mean? Like he doesn't necessarily have that sort of DNA. But like, isn't that always, like, I guess my concern is that if you're an owner of another club, you are very disinterested in setting a precedent that some regulatory body can strip away, force you to lose value in your asset because they don't like you. Whether you know what I mean? Like you can hate John, you can dislike the way it's happening. You can even think that it's degrading the value of other franchises. But the idea of setting precedent that I own this asset and I'm going to operate it, and that there's this body that's going to come in and tell me that I have to sell it, which by default will devalue it, right? Because I'm not like selling on my terms, I'm selling on someone else's terms. Like it's sort of anti-American, anti-capitalism. Like it's very Russian
Well, the
communism
Dan
kind of
Snyder thing is
concept.
a great example of if someone digs in. I mean, the issue in the Angelo story, and this will be the heart of the issue, is how much money the family really has. Because that's part of the issue here, is that they're cobbling, you see, they're selling properties that the inside word, because I wrote, by the way, for those of you out there, I haven't even read this out loud. I put it out on the internet. 10,000 people have read my letter to John Angelos. I will read it out loud. I'll get it on the air. I'll get it into the audio vault. I'll do all of that. But when I wrote it, everybody's talking to me all of a sudden, Bill. So, you know, the reporter, Chad Steele might not think I'm a journalist. I'm a journalist this week, buddy. So everybody's talking to me. And the first text that came my way after I put it up at 9:30 on Tuesday morning. By 10 o'clock, a pretty well-placed person sent me a text and said, "You got everything right except one thing. He ain't a billionaire." That's what somebody wrote to me, that they have money problems. And I think that that is a fascinating backdrop to this, that the Masson money's dried up. Now, keep in mind,
Call
Lewis, the
it.
brother, accused them of that in the paperwork last year. Like Dan Connolly wrote a little bit about this in his piece at Sportsnaut, but the notion that
I would just rephrase it, not money. I believe it's probably a liquidity problem.
right, because he's got an asset worth $1.5 billion, correct?
Lots of assets. They probably have a
Assets like
liquidity
Charles
problem.
Center that they don't know what to do with, right?
Right.
Like literally, same problem all of Manhattan has. We have a big building. It ain't worth what it used to be worth, and we don't know what to do with it. People aren't coming back to work. But for the baseball team, and just the main focus is this, Bill, and I would just say this as a citizen. The fact that this issue with Kevin Brown, it's going to linger on. They're going to go to the West Coast. People are going to forget about it. They're going to chant, you know, free Kevin Brown for a day or two, and it's fine. I guess he'll come back and do his job and pretend this never happened. I guess Palmer and Ben McDonald, all of them who didn't stand up for their partner at all, and everybody's, "You can't stand up. You all get fired." And I'm like, well, then you're all being complicit in something that's shitty. I mean, that's awful. That everybody knows, everybody's in on it, but they're a broadcast that and they can't broadcast. So the weirdness of all of that gets taken over by the fact that the team's really good. They're going to be really good. They're going to play next month. They're going to play into October, even though Batista blew the game the other night. Like, the relevance of baseball and the fact that people are talking about it and the fact that Wes Moore needs to get a lease done and John's getting pressured to some point now because of his own stupidity. I mean, nobody was talking about John Angelos 3 days ago. Like, and this went on. He hid this for almost 3 weeks. This kid was suspended and run off for almost 3 weeks before it leaked out. So he almost had an airtight ship to throw his primary broadcaster off the air for a month and have nobody even notice it because they're winning so many baseball games. But now people are calling me and we're peeling back the onion because, Bill, the bigger question is who's running the place? Where's the money coming from to sign Rutschman? Where's the money? I've talked about this the last 3 weeks. I talked about it with Mike Rosenfeld last week about it. Like, at some point, there needs to be money to support the franchise, to your point, that they're not Tampa Bay. There have to be sponsors. There have to be skyboxes. There has to be revenue. There have to be asses in the seats. They have to sell ads. And they're not good at most of that and haven't been very good long enough to sell any of that to create that revenue so that this becomes sustainable. Sustainable, to your point. Do you want to go back to being awful again and have awful baseball players? The only way you do that is to make exceptional decisions with the money. And at least the lights are on again. At least we're talking about it and there's some civic pressure. I mean, you had 15,000 people chanting "Free Kevin Brown" inside the stadium on the broadcast that was being ignored by the broadcasters, but broadcasted on TBS. And people are, dare I say, woke.
So I, sometimes I get this, I guess I am, tend to be a conspiratorial type of
I know
person
that about
anyway,
you.
right?
Yes, you're independent. You're
But
proudly independent. I
so
got it.
my question is like, okay, if you smell smoke, there's fire, right? My assumption is that when you're a really bad baseball team, your misbehaving is generally not noticed.
Nobody notices.
Like, nobody cares. It doesn't really matter. You do whatever you want. There's no consequences. Nobody's coming to the games anyway. Like, it just doesn't, none of it matters. And my assumption is John Angelos's like time as being intimately involved has always sort of been under that veil. And then it's when you go to the national spotlight where all of a sudden, and you can hate this about reporters, you can do, like what, but they will find reasons that to create stories to, because there's interest. And some of those might be real, some of them might be overblown, some of them not, like this one about Kevin Brown seems fairly straightforward, right? Like, John's not gonna like talk about it because that would just be the sort of straightforward way of handling it is
But
like
when
come
the
out
news comes out
about
about
it.
how batshit it is, how crazy it
Right.
is,
Well, that's why.
you then say, like, I've talked to a lot of people since this story broke, and I wrote the letter to John Angelos. It is awake and it has woke all sorts of people to talk to me. And somebody said to me, and I want to ask you this because you're an executive type around here, Bill Cole, Cole Roofing. If nobody else can figure out John Angelos, and he's that sort of, Rosebud, you know, that's sort of weird. How's Mike Elias getting along with him? You know what I mean? Like Mike Elias is tied to him at this point. He's fixed the thing on the field. They dealt for the pitcher from St. Louis last week, Flaherty, and that is what it is. Didn't take on a lot of money or anything like that. It wasn't a dramatic move. It was a good move, and I think it's a move that
Better than
moves them
nothing.
from a baseball perspective. They're a better team today than they were when they didn't have him. So I'm in on all of that. But I'm just saying, is Mike Elias happy in this relationship? Or would Mike Elias really be rather running the Cubs? Or dealing with someone that's not the owner's son who's putting his fingers into the broadcast, who just can't help himself but to do dumb stuff? Because this is really dumb. I mean, aside from all of this and not signing the lease, that might not be dumb if he really wants to move the team to Nashville, if he really thinks he's going to get $300 million more than Steve Bisciotti, if he really thinks he's going to get the parity clause taken out, if he really thinks he's going to build a skyscraper on top of a tunnel that sits underneath of the. You can speak to that. You're a roofer. They can't build a 30-story tower in parking lot B. They can't. The land won't support it. So there's all sorts of issues as to how John's going to get his piece in this lease. And word is from the state, he ain't close to signing the lease, and nobody's negotiating anything, and nobody can get John on the phone. And what John wants is unreasonable, like his old man. And he speaks to his lawyers, and his lawyers are like, when you give me 900 million instead of 600 million and give me squatters' rights over the football team, then I'll sign a lease. Until then, there's no lease. We'll work year to year.
There's a very fine line between visionary, progressive civic leaders and batshit crazy, greedy Major League Baseball team owners.
There
Like
you go.
it's a very fine line, meaning that if he would have behaved better for the last 15 years and the team had Yeah, you forget the wins and losses
Bill, he
necessarily,
doesn't
but
have a friend here.
right. But
I mean, he sits
if
in that skybox with no one around him,
they
like.
had the reputation that the Ravens have about in the community and all, like, I mean, the reality or not doesn't matter. The Ravens have managed their brand to where this is a purple city with, deep roots in the community and I mean, they go out of their way to enhance that brand. If the Orioles had that brand and he came at this in a way to try and win the hearts and minds of the people, he's like Bob Kraft creating a city where they built the, you know what I mean? Like there was nothing out there, and now it's like this, suburb metropolis outside of Boston or whatever.
But this isn't about him torturing Kevin Brown. This is about him torturing all of them. This is about Rob Long coming on after the team blew the game in a key situation in front of a free Kevin Brown crowd. Rob Long comes on with an Oriole hat, an Oriole bird, smiling after the game, and has to be completely upbeat because if he's not upbeat enough after they lost, John's watching. They're broadcasting for him, for his pleasure, for the king, and they can't even. I couldn't work like that. No way. I did that at Sporting News Radio for 2 years. No way. I could
Right.
sit here every day and do this, worried about somebody tapping me on the shoulder saying, I don't like the stars on your Drug City shirt. Make them circles. Like, I can't do that. And that's what they put on the air every night for 4 hours. And now that we know Kevin Brown has been treated like that, we know the whole thing. Bill, I've told
But
this
it doesn't
story.
matter,
I
Ness. It
listen, I told this
doesn't
story on
matter.
San Francisco Radio. I want to because I want to tell you, because I haven't said it on the air yet. So
Do whatever they want.
this is a real story, okay? So Sunday morning, I woke up in beautiful Selins Grove, Pennsylvania. You know where that is?
I do not.
You go to Harrisburg and you follow the river north about an hour, but you don't get all the way to Scranton or Williamsport, right? So I went up to see Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo, the Spider, rock out in this wine vineyard up in Sunbury, home of Wise Markets. I went to the original Wise Markets. They don't have the same logo. It's like this red thing going on in this old supermarket. It's been there since 1950, right?
Sounds fun.
So I'm up in Sunbury. I wake up, get her coffee, we get down the road to Harrisburg, grab a little lunch with some friends in York, and then the game's on. So I'm in the car for an hour listening from York back down into the city. And Jorge Mateo, and so I'm listening to the broadcast, and it's Melanie Newman, who's awful. In general, she's awful. But Brett Hollander and Jeff Arnold, it was Jeff Arnold, I believe, doing the game that day. So either way, Jorge Mateo comes up. And there's nobody on base, and he hits the ball up in the air, and the ball bounces around, and oh my God, he's at third base, a triple. I'm like, oh, a triple. And they don't mention anything about the play other than it's a triple. My wife's driving. I'm at like Parkton. I look on my phone, I'm on Twitter because we're listening to the game. My feet are up, the windows are open. And I look down, and everybody's killing Mateo on Twitter, killing him. Jaking it, watching the ball, carried the bat to first base, all of these things that it should have been an inside the park home run. But he completely jaked it. If you go watch it, in the post game, he apologized for it in Spanish. That I should have been running, you know, whatever, right? And on the radio broadcast, it was just a triple. So now I'm trusting Melanie Newman and Jeff Arnold and Brett Holland. And I can't blame them, Rob Long, any of them. They work for a goon. I mean, they work for a buffoon goon. And they're not allowed to criticize anything about their players. Anything. So when an error is made, it was just the official score must have screwed that up. I like, it's insane how off the rails this gets when I'm listening to 98 Rock and I'm listening to the broadcast of the game, and the broadcasters are terrified to say what they're seeing on the field. I mean, Bill, that really happened on Sunday, and I had no awareness of Kevin Brown. I just said to my wife, these broadcasters suck. You know, and it's all happy, happy, happy. If you listen to Melanie Newman on the radio, everything's the greatest, awesome. I mean, if you just get a thesaurus for all of those superlatives that are there, Mr. Stockett's thesaurus and Dundalk High and the SATs, that everything's just, this is the greatest cheeseburger, the greatest, oh my God, you got to get this crab cake. I'm okay. I mean, sell it all you want, but there goes your credibility, you know? And that's something that was never for sale for me, which is why you sponsor me. Because if it
But
comes out this
they,
mic, it's my truth. You may not agree with it, but it's my truth. You know, it's not somebody putting me up to bullshit you, because that's not what I do. It's not who I am, and I'm offended by it. In any walk of life, I'm offended by it.
okay, great. What are you gonna do about it?
Nothing.
Like it's their asset. They can run it however they want. The only place where it gets a little bit interesting for me is when the city state gives them hundreds of millions of dollars, I believe that creates some level of responsibility to the larger public that you don't just get to behave as any private business would behave,
You mean like
right? Because,
throwing out legitimate media members and
well,
looking
that
to
I
end? You're
don't
right.
think that, I mean,
Yeah.
look, there are laws that govern the country, right? Like there's a lot of, you know, human resource related stuff. So you still can't just like treat people, you know, in a way that is not consistent with the laws of the country, right? So they don't, they're not, well, no, I was going to say they're not above the law, but they technically are because they have antitrust status and they're allowed to be a monopoly and there's a lot of other problems that that creates. But
Not to mention the tax breaks.
you're right. I mean, look, we can complain about it all you want. The fact is that 15,000 people were screaming free Kevin Brown from inside the stadium after they paid for the ticket, watching the team play on the field, drinking the beers and eating the hot dogs. You can scream whatever you want if I'm John Angelos. Like, I don't care. Come on in, scream whatever you want. Like, that's just their approach. That's just their, I mean, bad, good. I just,
But they believe all that matters is winning on the field, and that's probably right
I don't
based on
know. Who do you think believes that?
John Angelos.
No, he doesn't. If he believed that, they wouldn't suck forever, right?
They
Like,
tried hard to not suck. That's the word. That's the other part of this.
they
They were
don't care. No,
trying to
no,
not
no, no,
suck.
no. They don't, wins and losses are an irrelevant statistic. It is a business that generates a profit or some other financial benefit in some other way that's how they're managing to it. You asked me earlier about
He's
Michael
got an
Asa.
appreciating asset, right? I mean, he's got an
I
asset his
think,
father bought for
right.
140 million that's worth 2 billion now. So just all on the face of it, there's that,
I
right?
think Michael Asa puts his head down, goes to work every day, and does the best he can, and
Yes.
knows that there's a better, nicer job in his future somewhere. Like
And Kevin Brown knows that too.
right. That's good enough to keep him going,
Bill
right?
Cole's here. He's Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. He fixes things, including my roof, and I'm very, very appreciative. I got to pay the bill, by the way. They sent me that. You can find him at Cole Roofing, and you've been gone for a couple of weeks. Look, you don't even want to talk about this baseball thing. You haven't completely. You're not into that yet. What have you been doing? I mean, how was your
No,
summer?
I don't get into this because it's a futile discussion. The ownership of professional sports teams can do whatever they want They always do whatever they want, and there's nothing that any of us can do about it. You either choose to cheer for
Watch
your
the game or
fan
not.
in a way that you want, right? Right. You cheer for your team and however it is that you want. So other than that, I mean, it is what it is. I don't know. I don't know. I've been working. We're doing a lot of solar projects, a lot of excitement around all that. It's been pretty good. A lot of summertime. We're obviously doing a lot of roofs and, for all the schools, trying to get them ready for the kids to go back. And I can't really believe that it's like almost mid-August. That's not cool.
Well, my 25th anniversary was last week, and we did it
And
at
I missed
Costas
it.
Thursday.
Yeah,
We
sorry.
did Drug City, but I wore my Drug City shirt to make you jealous because everybody that comes to Drug
I
City
do
loves
like
it,
that
just so you
shirt.
know.
That was
Yeah,
a
it's a
good
great
shirt.
shirt.
Yeah.
So I had Johnny O on Friday. He was talking about, opening all the important stuff, and I'm sitting here talking about a broadcaster, being thrown out of a first place team, and we're all into it. But this has been a
What was the most interesting thing Johnny O talked about?
Well, I tried to get the lines fixed on Joppa Road. I think we were, involved in that. I think it was, he's a teacher, right? So it lent itself to, he's fixed two of my schools. He's in Dundalk. We fixed Colgate, but getting Delaney, getting these other schools to where Dundalk is now, because if I tell you what, you go over to Dundalk High School and you see the school physically, and you go to Colgate Elementary where my son lives, where I went to school, where my son went to school, where my mother went to school. And you see what a new school represents in a community. I mean, even my son's like, I'm not leaving here. We got a brand new school. The value of the homes are going to be where it is because you can, a family can always come in here and have a kid that's, or three kids that can walk to school two blocks away in a relatively safe neighborhood in the county, blah, 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 blah. But I think he talked a lot about schools and going back to school and keeping in mind, and I think for, and you know this, I should say keeping in mind, you have kids. This has been a wacky couple of years to have kids. You and I were on the Zoom all during the plague, wearing masks for 2.5 years, whatever it was. We're finally getting some sense of normalcy. And by the way, my son and his wife both on the couch with COVID last week, knocked out for a week. So this COVID thing, it's been 3.5 years. Knock on wood, my wife and I are still like walking the earth and I'm elbow bumping people and doing all that. But I think for school and going back to school for kids who weren't allowed and homeschooled, I mean, every kid that's in the 10th grade right now is kind of a little screwed up because they spent sixth, seventh, and eighth grade on a Zoom call having school. Every kid in the country, in the world, really had that happen. I think this sense of normalcy and like the kids are going back to school and everybody had a good time at the beach and the baseball team's good, the football, like it's starting to feel like normal a little bit. And the school part of normal is the most important thing because, like, I think that that is the blip in all of this. Forget interest rates and Trump and Biden and whatever. 10, 15 years from now, what's the outcome of a plague? The outcome is we have a generation of people we're trying to get prepared so that they can take care of my ass when I'm eating pudding later on. And sending them back to school and having something that's normal again, I think that was probably, you ask about Johnny O, I think kids going back to school is probably the biggest thing.
Yeah, look, the school conversation is a pretty wide-ranging one. I mean, if you go into a school that has not been renovated or rebuilt, and then if you think about the length of usefulness of a school, 50 plus years, right? Like how much changes in 50 years? So the stark difference between a school built in the last 5 years and a school that was built 50 years ago, I mean, it's you just can't even comprehend it. Now, I say that, but at the same time, it's actually not that different. Like the way we have choose to teach kids and all that stuff, like it hasn't really changed. And I think I don't envy teachers one bit. I think they have the most difficult job in the whole entire world. We went from a Henry Ford assembly line memorize process of schooling to now you have Google. So like, what am I really teaching you? And I don't think they've figured that out. I think that's still, and that now, before we even got a chance to figure that out, well, now we have AI and it's writing our papers for us.
Well, the
So
calculator came along when I was of that age, right? Like in the 70s, I had to figure out math. By the time my kid came along in the 90s, they had a calculator to just do it. And then kids can't do it. They don't know how to do long division, like whatever.
Well, but I mean, I had calculators too, but they still made you do it. Like you weren't allowed to have the calculator, which seems kind of stupid because it isn't like calculators are
I
now going to
see
go
young people
away.
now that don't know north, south, east, and west. I mean, I had a 35-year-old employee here who didn't know which way north was because he just never had to learn. And like I don't under like to them, Google Maps is the way there. It's not, oh, York, Pennsylvania is that way, and DC is that way, and oh, we go
Up,
that way. I'm going to
down.
go to Hagerstown, and hey, that's the way to the Bay Bridge, and that's east, and the sun comes up every day. I actually ran into a girl. It's the funniest story ever. I ran into a girl in Manhattan, and I came up a subway. It's about four. I think I told you this on the air when it happened. It was like 4 years ago. Maybe it was before, during the plague. Before the plague, I came up, very, very pretty girl at the top, and she was in her 20s. And I thought, well, maybe I look good today, you know? She says to me, "Hey, do you know which way's west? I mean, I'm going." And I looked up and I saw the sun. I'm like, "Well, the sun sets in the west, so it's that way." She's like, "Really? I didn't know that." Like, she literally didn't know that. And I thought, you look normal a minute ago. You look like somebody I'd go on a date with or I'd be happy to have as my daughter. You look educated. I mean, but she just didn't know. And I'm thinking to myself, and you wonder why I think it's a big deal that Johnny O sent the kids back to school?
Right. No, I don't. So the kid education stuff is something that will take, you know, a long time to unpack, right? Like, let's see how useful these kids are when they become adults and all that. And I'm worried and nervous, but kids are also resilient. So who knows? The other thing that we have to get our arms around is that, like, there's a whole bunch of stuff in our world that the change got accelerated. So, like, Zoom, for instance, right? Like, that was not, it existed probably 10 years before the plague, right? But nobody did
QR
it.
codes are the other one. A friend of mine brought
QR
that up the
code,
other day. Yeah.
okay,
QR
sure.
codes were like the metric system. They were dead. And now I can't order a friggin' taco when I go out without a QR code, right?
I also think even if, and this probably follows some level of socioeconomic, you know, demographics, but like people were buying from Amazon and they were getting things delivered. And then in the plague, it went from like, you know, half of us doing that to like 95% of us doing that. And then sure, maybe that number's come back down now because you can go to stores and everything,
How much did
but
Deion Sanders love that they call it Prime? If I see him, I'm going to ask him that.
that's funny.
By
Okay.
the way, you inspired me. Can I give you a little inspiration shout out?
Sure.
Because I'm not Enoch's
Maybe.
not coming on because he's not public like that. And well, I'll have Greg Landry on from Towson Transfers. The three of you, I met with you about 6 weeks ago. I said, "Hey, my 25th anniversary is coming up. What am I famous for other than being me?" And all of you gave me some ideas. And then you got me looking through like 25 years worth of pictures, stuff, stories, all that. We are going to present, courtesy of our new friends at Curio, we have a new sponsor. Our 25th anniversary, we're going to do 25 stories of glory. So we're going to do the top 25 things WNST has done. And you know what? I got a list of about 35 things. I'm trying to pare it down to just get. I mean, obviously, dude, I did Free the Birds. We did the walk, the New Orleans March. We had Whiskey Joe's. Like, there are some things we've
That's
done that
what I
have
was
just
going to
been.
say. Yeah.
I
I
mean,
was
we've
pretty
had
sure that's one and two, right? Like,
road trips. We've had, like all sorts of memories. But we've done so many wacky things. All the barn shows, all the purple signs and the orange signs and like crap we've done. And I thought to myself, I'm looking through pictures and I'm like, I took Deion Sanders into Putty Hill Station in a $10,000 mink coat. And he sat down for 2.5 hours and told his life story on my show with Cordell Stewart. And I'm thinking, that might not even make the top 25.
I
I
don't
mean,
think it would,
Brian
but
Billick, I
it
have a
might.
Super Bowl
I
winning head
don't know.
coach become our partner here. That's got to be in the
Right.
top five, right?
Sure.
So I'm trying to figure out what all these moments are, but then all of these wacky things come to us. Like we're in York, Pennsylvania. We ran a puck bus to Hershey 15 years ago. And it was like this benign thing. And we had a full bus. We had 45 people on the bus, and we're going up on a Tuesday night to see the Hershey Bears play whomever. And it was like the night that you got the free Hershey Park ticket for the next summer, right? So it was the big night where everybody goes home with a free Hershey Park admission to go back to the park. So for $50, $45, you get on my bus, you get a whole night, and then they give you a free ticket to come back to the park, right? So it's a pretty good deal. We get on the bus, there's an accident like it, I don't know, King Street, George Street, Queen Street, Main Street in York, Pennsylvania, and the bus is trapped. Everybody's trapped. Nobody can get off. We sat there. It was a fatality. It was awful. I mean, medevac, the whole thing. We wound up getting to the hockey game just as the third period started
Oh my
in
gosh.
Hershey. The Bears were unbelievable. The guy that worked for the Bears gave everybody pucks and sticks and shirts and like and gave them a free ticket to come back and see the Bears play if they wanted to come back and drive up on their own.
Wow.
So everybody,
Wow.
it worked
That's
out
cool.
great. But I'm
Yeah.
thinking these are memorable. That's not a top 25 moment, but it's allowed me to really take stock. You had your 100th anniversary. My friends at the Maryland Lottery had their 50th, which kind of inspired me. I told John Martin that when I was thinking about the 20th, I actually have a new logo I'm going to be putting up next week as part of all the stuff we're doing with our 25th anniversary. I appreciate you and I appreciate everybody that was such a part of this, but even you had a story about being an intern for Bob Haney here 25 years ago, right?
But that, yeah, but that, I would say that's not necessarily my favorite stories. I mean, what I will never allow anyone to disparage whatsoever is you created a common connection point to the people of this city anytime we went somewhere else. So whether we were like on your trip where so you created opportunities for people to do that, which are lifetime memories for them and their family and their kids and whoever went on those journeys with you. Those are wonderful memories that you enabled to occur, right? But when we went to a city, most notably Tampa and New Orleans, right? Like you were the common, lighthouse in the storm that said, all you maniac purple people, come here. And they did. And we got to enjoy one another. And we got to show our civic pride in a much, much, much more meaningful way than we would have been able to do otherwise. So those are, the gap between one and two for me, down to like whatever that third memory is. The third memory for me is going to definitely be the barn, because like I was in college and I had like a Monday night class, and
Oops.
we would skip out of that class like a little bit early,
Whose
and we
Nestor got there tonight?
would wait, we would just go to the barn and we would sit there, and that was it was just, part of the fabric of life back then. So those are wonderful memories, man. Like nobody can take any of that stuff away. So
Well, I'm gonna try to at least bring it back. But the
yeah.
Deion Sanders thing, like the barn shows, my God, I had Rod Woodson, Shannon Sharpe, Lawrence Taylor, Ray Lewis, Trent Dilfer. Just go down the list of Goose. I mean, the Goose events were their own thing.
Yeah.
I had Jim Harbaugh at the barn, not John Harbaugh at the barn.
Right.
So yeah, I mean Brian Billick. How about when Billick and Modell brought the trophy over and we marched the trophy out onto Harford Road? And we had cars honking in traffic. David's holding the trophy up out in traffic.
Right. I don't know. In an overly stuffy, professional, extremely controlled environment,
You think I don't know about that? I'm thrown out.
Right, that's what I mean. That kind of grassroots stuff is really what brings meaning to all of it for everybody. And all the what do they call them? Like the neighborhood groups that are, the ravens, the flocks,
No,
or
roosts, roosts.
there you
Yes,
go. The
yes.
roosts, all that stuff. That's all the stuff that brings the meaning to it. You know what I mean? So I don't know. You've done good.
Who makes the magic happen of Oriole baseball? Bill Cole, you make the magic of Oriole baseball happen. Bill Cole is here. He's Cole Roofing, Gordian Energy. Tell him what you do on roofs and how you do it, and this whole newfangled solar thing that I see everywhere. I was up in Pennsylvania on some side roads, back roads, doing some things. Solar's here. You're You're doing the Lord's work, as they say.
We did a really nice project up in York, Pennsylvania for a really wonderful family who's got a big warehouse, and then they like open their warehouse up to all these different little vendors and sole proprietors, and they come in and they have like a, I don't know, farmer's market type of deal. But anyway, yeah, I would say that we are trying to assess people's roof situations so that we can help them not have to worry about their
Well,
commercial
your
roof.
guy came out and told me I it's time for me. So like I
Yeah.
got to talk to you. It's been 39 years on my roof, right? Like so like, right? So
Yeah,
it's
maybe.
time.
I don't know. Roofs are definitely, this is sort of counter what, but this is just who we are. Like, if it works, don't mess with it. Like that is definitely how roofs are. Like, the minute you start poking around, like,
No
then they
leaky,
just,
no pokey. Right. I
right,
got you. I got you. All right.
exactly.
I hope
So.
to see you a little more often than once a month. And certainly, you have inspired me on our 25th anniversary to, despite all this Kevin Brown nonsense and Chad Steele nonsense and the teams themselves and the Crab Cake Tour and my 25th anniversary and all of that, that head up. And, it's going to be a very, very exciting sports calendar into the fall. And I think it's going to, it, I'm looking forward to kids going back to school. I'm looking forward to wearing a sweater. I'm looking forward to rolling my sleeves up and having some normalcy again come September. How about
Yeah,
that?
I'm with you. Let's do it.
All right, I'm Nestor. We're WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive in our 26th year now.